Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter. I'm your host, Ann Harrison, and I thank you for coming along with me to talk about Jesus and the writing life. God has given us each a story to share, and your story matters. Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, everyone. My name is Ann Harrison. I am your host. And today I'm going to introduce a special guest. But before I do, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Father. For those of us in the South, thank you for the rain that you're sending our way. Lord, place a protective shield around us. And for those out in the Midwest, I pray that you will bless their lives as they go through the storms that they've been through, as they assess the damage and everything. And Lord, I pray for the listeners that what we say brings value to them. And I pray that you will bless our chat today and give us the words you'd like for us to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers today to get started?
I'll be happy to. I'm Linda McKinney Lambert, and I live in Western Pennsylvania in a little village called Wurttemberg. And I'm a retired college professor, and I'm here today because we're talking about a book that's my newest book. It's called Songs for the Pilgrimage. So it's an honor to be with you, Anne.
Well, thank you so much. So it's an honor to have you. So how did you know when God called you to be a writer?
That's a great question, because usually the typical answer that I hear from most people is that I've been writing all my life, or I was writing poems when I was little, and they'll tell you all about that. My case is so very different than that. I think that probably the starting point for me as a writer, which I was completely unaware was a starting point for me at the time, but looking back on it, I see God's hand in it. I began to paint. A friend of mine from church invited me to her home. She's an artist. And I began taking painting classes with her one day a week. Her name is Donna Boots, and she's still a painter. She's paints gospel messages and Bible scenes. But once I started painting, from the first day, I was just absolutely absorbed with it. I mean, I had a deep passion for painting from the very first class. And had I not taken that class, I definitely wouldn't be sitting here where I am now. Because that passion that I had for painting in Donna's classes led me on an entirely different path. At that time, I was a mother who stayed home with the family. We had five children. My husband and I were raising the children. But once I started painting, this gave me something to do that really had nothing to do with my husband or my children or my home. It was kind of a little vacation that I went on every time I picked up the paintbrush. So that passion then led me over the years to begin to pursue an academic career in painting some years later, 10 years later, really. And because I entered a university as a BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts, major in painting, because I did that, that opened the door for me to take art history classes, which I knew nothing about at that time. But art history is writing, 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 and writing, and more writing. It's research, and it's writing papers, and it's memorizing so many things that you feel like your brain's going to explode. But that is what led me to writing. I was writing because I was an artist and I was pursuing my degree in art. And then that led me on. I wanted to go on. I wanted to go all the way with my education. I was 42 years old when I entered the university. So, you know, I had a fire under my feet to keep on going. And So when I applied for the MFA, I wanted to go on and get the final degree in studio art, which is an MFA. But while I did that, I was afraid that I might not get accepted. And, I needed to be within 2 hours of my home because I wasn't going to be, away from home and my family to do it. So I also, at the same time, at the university where I just was finishing up my BFA, I applied for their program as an MA in English. It turned out I got both opportunities. I was accepted at that school, and then a couple other schools offered me entrance into their MFA program. So I really say I got in by the back door because it was never my intention when I started out, because I didn't even really know that I would have such a passion for writing, but it came through working with art in the art departments.
Wow, that's amazing. So your art, and you, I was going to ask you a question, but you answered it. Your art was connected to your writing, which is amazing.
Yes.
And honestly, I feel that with, I can't play music. I love to sing because I tried to teach myself piano, but that didn't go very far. But
Oh, that's hard.
yeah, especially as an older, when, as you get older, but I love it, but I love to sing, but writing and music. I had a revelation one day. My story is my song. My words are my instrument.
Yes, your
I
voice.
love that. Yes.
It's true.
So what got you started with poetry?
Well, that's, I'm telling you, it's like the Lord just took me step by step through everything that's happened to me over my long life. And there are things that just happened that I wasn't planning ahead or really thinking about. And I would say, let's see, it was 1981. This is before I was painting in 1981. I started in 76, so I'm painting, but I still don't have the idea that I'm going to college someday. I'm just painting. I sat down and wrote a letter to a magazine. One of my, I'll call it a hobby, but really, when I do something, I really do it. I had birds. I loved exotic birds. And this one bird that I bought, he was a bird that nobody would have wanted in the store. He was a red-bellied macaw, which is an extremely rare bird, but he had all kinds of issues. And I happened to be in the store with a friend who had birds. She invited me to go to the store with her. She was going to go pick up some bird seed. Well, I'm wandering around in the store and I see this bird, and my heart just went out to this poor bird. And I ended up leaving the store with this bird, which my husband was not very happy about when I came home. But what I did was I just put all my energy into working with this bird every day, every day, every day. And you have to be so patient to work with birds. It could be years before you see progress. I actually tamed this bird. And so I belonged to the I think it was called the Pittsburgh Cage Bird Society. And through that, I had a magazine that came in the mail called American Cage Bird. So I just sat down and wrote a little story about how I found this bird and how I tamed him. And I sent pictures of myself with him on my shoulder. And they published my story. I just sent them the story. I just wanted them to know that this is the bird and this is what happened. Never dreamed it would be published. So that was my very first publication. It was really by accident. It was just because I was excited about something I had done and wanted to share that with other people that would appreciate it. So that was 1981. And I actually entered the university in 1985 at the age of 42. I was with people that were the age of my children.
Wow.
It was wonderful. I loved it. I was very afraid. I felt like I was really old. And, but I wanted to do it so bad. I was willing to just do whatever I needed to do because I wanted to go on and have an education in painting. That's what I went there for. So, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't have another publication because I never sent my work anywhere. I was kind of very backward or shy about it, or just felt like it wouldn't be good enough to send somewhere. And so I did not send anything anywhere until I was in graduate school. And at that point, I picked up a newspaper. I was at West Virginia University, and I picked up a paper and I saw there was a poem published there. And I thought, I don't know anybody here. I have nothing to lose. I'm just send them a poem. And they published it. So that was, I would say, 1991, probably 1991. And so that was my first poem that I sent out that was published.
And you publish in the Avocet a lot, don't you?
So, yeah, occasionally I do. Yes.
And that's a weekly poetry magazine.
Yes.
Well,
I like it because it's a nature themed magazine, and I'm, you know, I love nature. I love all animals and birds, and I love being outside. So I really like to write about those things.
Okay, cool. I mean, that is really amazing. So let's talk about this book. We gotta pray for this storm too, because my daughter just saw lightning. As I'm recording this, we're having some rain out here, so that's why I prayed for that.
Yes.
So, tell me about the process. When you write a book, do you outline it first, or do you just write what God gives you and then put it and then sort it all out into a specific order later?
I hate to say this, but I kind of start with a mess. I'll call it chaos. That's a
you
nice.
You are a true pantser.
I have so many ideas, so I just start writing all these ideas. But so what I do though, like once I get an idea that I want to put a book together, what I do now, because this is, I have five publications at this point, so I'm working on two more books with hopes of maybe next year having them out. But what I do now is I just, you know, I begin writing intentionally for the book that I'm thinking about doing. And I just start gathering the writings and gathering them and gathering them. And then after, I'll give you, for instance, I'm working on a book that's just memoirs. And so I have 50 written at this point. I worked all last year. I just made it a top priority and I wrote 50. And I want to write 50 more before I put the book together. So I have that accumulation of material that I'm accumulating or creating. And then once I have all that, I'll start coming up with, I'll probably develop a table of contents and then work that, you know, work. I usually divide things into parts. Like this last book has five parts.
Mm-hmm.
So once I determine what the part's going to be, the theme of the part, then that helps me then to dig into this pile that I have and start putting things into the parts. That's how I do it. So I actually have a structure at some point, but I don't begin with a structure.
Oh, okay. I get it, because I when I write, I've started pantsing myself, and then I go through and create the structure as I go back and revise too.
I never heard that term before.
Well, I do National Novel Writing Month, and so that's one of the terms that I learned from them, from NaNoWriMo. So yeah, you're a true pantser. I'm a planter. I plot a little pants a lot. And then when I revise, I go back and plot a lot more.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm an in-betweener. Anyway, so, and I noticed you, it seems you've traveled a lot in Salzburg and other places in this book. I don't want to spoil anything, but was there any lessons, is there any Is there a little golden nugget from your travels that you want to share with us today?
One time I was called, this is when I first started painting. A newspaper called me up. Like, I'm a mom. My life was here in my little village, being a mom and a wife to my husband. And then I was painting. And this newspaper reporter called me up. I have no idea why or how they got my name, but he said he was doing an article on moms in the area, in the county. And so his question was, if you could do anything in this world, what would you want to do? I'm telling you, Anne, I didn't miss a beat, and I can't believe what I said. I've never been anywhere. My life was here at home, taking care of my family. What came out of my mouth is, oh, I would like to travel to Europe and paint pictures and write.
That's a God thing.
Said that, I thought, how could I say such a thing to that man? And then when the newspaper comes out, it's in the newspaper. And there's a picture of me standing there. He had me take stand out under the tree out back with one of my paintings. I'm standing there with my painting, and then under there is, this is what I would do if I could do anything. But you know, it is a God thing, because I read Beyond Ourselves by Catherine, oh, what's her last name? Marshall, Catherine Marshall. At some point during this time, I read her book, and I read about what she called the dreaming prayer. And she outlined in there how it worked, how her mother taught her this dreaming prayer. And really, when I said that out loud, that that's something I'd want to do, that was a prayer. You know, it was, like you said, a God thing. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 10 years later. I am now a professor, and I'm going to Europe taking students every summer. I invented my own class. When I was there the first year, I found out they didn't have any program that took students to Austria or Germany. And I just happened to have connections because of people I had met in the past. And here they wrote me a letter and offered me. They said, now that you're at the college, maybe you would like to take your students on the summer programs that we offer every year. These programs were offered through Slippery Rock University of Pennsylvania. And so students could go with me on these trips for a month and study with me, and they would earn college credit for it. So I couldn't have written that script for myself. You know, I couldn't. God is just full of so many wonderful things for all of us. And just, you know, looking back on all these things, it's just miraculous how one after another happens. And they're always good, always good.
Right. You know, that's why you can't live life, you can't live a scripted life.
No.
That's why I don't script this podcast, 'cause God has so many wonderful things come out of it.
Yes, I agree. That's why I like your podcast so
Well,
well.
thank you so much.
Yes.
So, Lord, give me the question. Okay. So, are there any takeaways that you want to leave the listeners with as far as any tips or takeaways you wanna share that you've learned through this book project?
Yes. One thing, just from my background in research and writing, through the universities that I went to, and now through the writings that I do, my best advice is for anybody that wants to write is to go to the direct source, like the first source of everything, whatever it is you're looking into or you want to know. Don't go just to resources, but dig back more. Go back to where you see an idea. Well, where did this idea come from? I remember when I first went into an art history class, I knew nothing about art history, so I was just amazed at everything. And these little angel beings that are called putti, people think they're angels. They're like little chubby, fat little babies with wings. And I asked the professor about these little creatures, and we were talking about them, and I thought they were so fascinating. And she said, "Oh, they go back to like the beginning of time. They're in antiquity. We see them in antiquity." So that's something that if I was writing about something like that, I want to go back and look, like, did that come from mythology? Probably yes. And what was it? Where did it begin? And what does it mean? What did it mean in the culture that created it or that used it? So I think when we're writing, we need to go back to the solidity of history and to find out what this meant in that culture or at that time period or for this people group so that we can understand it better, because something that we have today could be the same thing, but used in such a different way and not at all the way it originally started out. So it's good for us to know those things, to know the history of it. And the other thing that I would say to everybody is get lots of rejections. You want to gather in those rejections. The more rejections you get, the more work you're going to have published. Don't be afraid of rejections. Celebrate them. I mean, the yeses are out there for you, but you got to go through the nos sometimes to get the next yes. So just take it as part of the job, as part of how it works, and don't worry about it. Just keep on writing. Just keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing, writing.
Right. And just because somebody tells you no, that doesn't mean you're not a good writer. That
That's
just
right.
means that your work is not a fit for what they need.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
Because
right.
I've gotten that before, and I've gotten a powerful, your writing is good, but it just doesn't meet our needs, or it
That's
doesn't
right.
meet our audience.
Yes,
So,
that's exactly right.
just keep putting it out there.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, where can people find you online if they want to connect with you?
I'm so easy to find because it's just my name, lindalambert.com. And Linda spelled with a Y. So it's LyndaLambert. My name, lindalambert.com.
Okay.
And you can find anything about me there. If you type my name into Google, it'll bring up lots of
Are you
things you can read.
on social media too, or is it or
I'm
just
on
your
Facebook,
okay?
Linda McKinney Lambert on Facebook. I also have a couple pages on Facebook. So I have my what do you call it, that homepage, Linda McKinney Lambert. Then I have it's called Walking by Inner Vision page, because that was my first book that I published after I lost my sight, is Walking by Inner Vision. And so I made a page for that. So I put posts on there that have to do with writing and publication. And then I have an art page. Of course, I'm an artist. And that's called River Road Studio, because I live on River Road in Elwood City. My studio is just, it's in a bar, second story of a barn, just beyond where I'm sitting in another building. And that's called River Road Studio. So River
So,
Road Studio.
okay, cool. So, thank you for that. Do you have a Bible verse that you would like to share with us today?
I'll give you the one that I have right here by my computer. If I'm feeling like I need a little assurance, no matter how successful we are and whatever it is we're doing, we have times where we just need a reinforcement. And there's nothing like going to God's word, because he's our creator. And I would say my very favorite verse would be Proverbs 29:11. I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to hurt you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes.
I love that. I read it,
In my
but
Bible.
keep
It's
right.
hard for me to memorize things. I'm not, so many Christians can just sit here and just come up with, all these Bible verses, but my brain isn't wired. I have to work very hard to memorize something.
I don't do it by my brain. I let God give them to me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I read King James because that's what my church has been reading.
That's what I do too.
Yeah, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thus saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end.
Yes.
That's stuck with me. That one and several others, but that's one that stuck with me for quite a while.
I think the way I said it was the New Revised Version.
That's the NIV. Yeah.
NIV. Yeah.
New International. Yeah. I'll read that. I'll read some verses in there, but I'm very careful about that because some of the translations can get misconstrued.
Well, in the last year, maybe sort of toward the end of last year, I had some major computer issues where I lost equipment and all that. So I was not online from December 23rd till about toward the end of February. So I had this huge block of time that I normally would have been writing and doing things or communicating with people. And what happened was I woke up this one morning in the middle of this, and you know how the Holy Spirit just wakes you up and gives you a word? The word was sabbatical. And I went like this, you know, I'm just waking up and I went, sabbatical. And it's like, he repeated it three times, sabbatical, sabbatical.
And he gets louder and louder every time he repeats it.
And it's like, go write it down so you don't forget. And I went from my bedroom into my office upstairs, and I wrote down sabbatical. And then later I discovered why he gave me that word, because I had this block of time and I couldn't do anything. Well, that's what you get when you have a sabbatical. When you're teaching, the college or university gives you this block of time that you can be creative and that you can like pursue a dream of something you want to do. And when I lost my sight in 2007, for the first time, I was taking a sabbatical. It was in the fall, and I was taking that semester as a sabbatical, and I was working on a sabbatical project. And then right in the middle of that, bam, I lost my sight. Didn't know if it was day or night. Didn't know if I was ever going to do anything again. I thought I was never going to paint or make art again. I thought I would never. I just saw myself sitting in a chair listening to, you know, books on tape for the rest of my life. But so when I realized what God has just done for me this year, when he took away all my outside sources and my, you know, everything that was taking my time, he gave me a sabbatical right now. And this sabbatical, nobody can take away from me. It's mine.
Right.
So that was just the most amazing thing, that the Holy Spirit would have given me that word, sabbatical. Just makes me laugh to think about it.
Wow, that's amazing. So
I'm on sabbatical.
Okay. That's an interesting. I've gotten a character like that. I'd be zoning out this morning, and yeah, I had a character for another book, for the second book in my middle grade series. I'm working on finishing up a round of edits for the first one before I put it in, before I send it to betas. And I got a new character. It was like kind of zoning out in the swing a couple months ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I heard this name, Indiana Westbrook.
Oh my.
Yeah. I'm like, what? I had to write it down. I had a dream about it. And now I know who she is.
Well, you know, I heard you say on one of the podcasts, I love, love, love listening to your podcasts. And especially when you do the Bible teachings, those are just so, I love them. And you just make the word come alive. And I'll think to myself, my goodness, I would have never thought of that, you know. But you talked about, you gave the word from Zechariah, I think, where you said you were given an idea and to write it down and make it
clear. No, Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it
plain. Yes,
write the vision and make it plain, yes.
Well, I wrote that down.
That's
how you were given your book cover, you know what it is.
Yes, I mean, they had to play around with the pictures, but
Yeah.
it's like I could almost reach out and touch the railing of those steps.
Yes.
I mean, that's how vivid. I don't, I, because I can't, because I'm to I'm well, other than light perception, I'm totally blind. I don't see colors, and as my listeners and viewers know this, but the vision is so vivid.
I
I
believe
don't
it.
have, God doesn't give it to me in color. God gives it to me in texture.
Yeah.
Color, I do. I know this is in, this may be in, this is interesting, but to me, I'm learning that color to me has texture, and blue is a soft color. Yes, color is like texture to me.
That's beautiful.
Red is more, I wouldn't say rough, but it's more vibrant. It's more, I haven't figured out the pure texture, but it's vibrant.
Well, that reminds me of Andre Crouch. I was, how the Lord just gives you music. I'm going through the house and I'm just hearing this Andre Crouch music from the 70s is like playing in my head. So I went, I thought, I'm going to go look him up. And I saw an interview with him and he was talking about how he learned to play the piano. He said his father said they needed a pianist at their church. They didn't have one. He was little, like 9 years old, I think. He never had a piano lesson in his life. The father said to him, the Lord told me you're going to be the piano player. And he said, if the Lord gives you the gift of music, do you promise to play the piano for him for the rest of your life? And he said, I looked up and says, yes, Daddy. And he said, he laid his hands on me and prayed for me. He said, 3 weeks later, I was playing the piano for the church services. But he said something very much like what you just said. He played a key on the piano. He said, this is red. And he hit a key. Then he hit like a step down from it. He said, this is pink. And another one, he went, this is blue. So he was playing the piano the same way you're talking about the textures being colors. Fascinating.
Yeah, I mean that was interesting. I haven't even figured out pink and yellow and but red is vibrant, like, well, I know roses are different colors, but red is rose, cherries, fire. It could be really pink is a little a step down from that.
Yeah, that's exactly how he said it with the
That's,
piano. It was a step down.
you talk about musicians. I've been hooked on BJ Thomas's music here lately.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
You
he's
know, he's
awful.
from here. He's
He
from here.
was?
Yes, he grew up here. Yes.
He sounds like, when I've heard him talk, he
He
sounded
lives in
Southern to
a town
me.
15 minutes from me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting. So, but anyway, and his gospel music especially. And I've been sharing it on my socials, but there's a song called Love Shines, and that really spoke to me today. So I put that on my song of the day stuff on YouTube. Yeah. But yeah, God gives us these things in strange ways.
I know.
So I don't want to keep you too long, because I know I try to be conscious of everybody's time, but do you have any final word? Is God laying any final words on your heart before we close in prayer?
I'm feeling that we all need to be praying for our country, specifically, that we need to. I've just finished reading First Timothy, and in First Timothy, the last chapter, God is telling us what it is that we should be seeking and what we should want and the things that we should desire. And so I think just to pray for our country that we would turn to God and seek to be the people that He wants us to be.
Wow, I love that. We do need to do that. So why don't you, if you don't mind, close us out in prayer?
Okay, be honored to do that. Lord Jesus, I just come to you right now, give you thanks and praise for this exciting conversation that Anne and I have been having. I just envision the conversations we'll have at your throne in the future. And Father, I pray for our country. It seems that we have turned so far away from you that we have set our sights on making a lot of money and having possessions and having power. But yet, God, when I look into your word, these things all have their place, but they aren't to be the things that we are seeking first of all. God, just put it in our hearts to have a humble spirit and to go to you and seek to know what your will is for us every day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So what's the name of your book again before I
do Oh, my that? Book is, ta-da!
Oh, it's so funny!
Songs for the Pilgrimage.
Yay! Oh, my friend says the ooh-ah. So, I know. Okay, sorry, my daughter was talking to me. All right, so I'm going to close this out with a challenge that I like to end with, because this is so important. I challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. Thanks for joining us on Inspirational Journeys today. And remember, your story matters. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Hey guys, this is Anne from the Inspirational Journeys podcast, and my special guest, Joe Templin, has an offer for my listeners and viewers. Take it away, Joe.
Anne, thank you. And again, thank you for bringing me on. This was a wonderful conversation. I'm glad that I could reach out and help your people grow. And to continue to help them to grow, we have an offer. If they go to the website everyday-excellence.com, and use the code InspirationalJourneys at checkout from the shop, they can get a 10% discount on anything there to be able to help them with their personal journey to grow and inspire others.
You heard it here, folks. You get a 10% discount on everything in the store at everyday-excellence.com using promo code InspirationalJourneys. Happy writing, and celebrate the day. Challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. You've been listening to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter, with your host, Anne Harrison. If you like what you've heard on today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends, and leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Visit my website at AnneWritesInspiration.com, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and follow me on Facebook and Pinterest at AnneWritesInspiration and on Twitter at AnneWrites75 for more inspirational content. Thanks for listening, and remember, your story matters.